Before coming to church this morning, we had the computer on to listen to the live streaming of the youth gathering in Houston. So since they're 2 hours ahead of us, they were in the middle of worship and heard a couple of minutes of Bishop Eaton's service on this same passage. So if you want to hear a second sermon on this gospel text, go to the ELCA website and you can bring it up. And also, that's a reminder that our team Grace, our 7 youth and 2 adults, will be coming back from Houston this evening, getting into Eugene around 2 a.m. So pray for safe travels for them and all those who are departing the youth gathering today. 30,000 strong. Wow! God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, through your word, awaken in us faith that leads to your power to heal and restore. Amen. Every 3 years in our lectionary cycle, when today's passage from Mark is read, I am always struck by the timelessness of this story of the hemorrhaging woman. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. For all the advances we have made in medical technology and the treatment of what ails us since the first century of the common era ushered in by God's timing of salvation history, this story has been repeated in every decade, in every culture, in every place on the face of the earth where the human family has resided. Many of us here, me included, have greatly benefited from not only access to health care, but the advances of our technology when it comes to our status of wellness. Actually, I would have probably lost my vision in one of my eyes had I not had timely laser surgery last October, which fixed it. While many of you might share similar stories, I would imagine that almost all of us also know someone who has suffered and continues to suffer from a non-diagnosed mysterious illness. With all our knowledge, all our advances, and all our efforts towards progression, the realm of mystery and the unknown is always greater than our ability to comprehend it. Thus, this is the part of the story to which we easily relate, knowing how frustrating and costly healthcare can be, which does not yield any beneficial results. Yet there is a part of the story that is more difficult for us to understand, a part that is stuck in the religious ethos, customs, and practices of the time. Because of the type of illness this woman had, the fact that she bled, it meant, according to the Jewish law of the day, that she was perpetually unclean. This would be like someone being quarantined today. She was not welcomed in a community gathering because anyone she touched or anyone who touched her would then become unclean and would have to go through ritual purification to be pronounced clean and be readmitted into the community. This is the part of the story that is difficult for us to grasp today because we simply do not know or abide by such a practice, although it might also be said, we have always found new and different ways to exclude people from gatherings. Exclusion is not new, just the ways we practice it. Says Pastor Brian Stoffergan in his notes on this passage, unclean things and people were estranged from God and each other. They weren't supposed to touch each other. Pastor Willie Duane Francois III captures first century practice as well in his writing on this passage when he says, this woman's status as unclean alienates her physically from family and friends. Other people need to avoid contact with her body, her used clothing, and the places where she sits and sleeps. Yet here she is, part of a crowd of people pressing in on Jesus. Her very presence is an act of civil disobedience. End of quote. It's interesting, however, that this story, as recorded in three of the four in a picture. Do any of you have that feature on your television, which allows you to watch one show while also following another show or broadcast? Today's gospel reading is like that. As the story begins, Jesus is summoned by Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, whose daughter is near death. He pleads with Jesus to come heal his daughter before it is too late. There is an urgency in Jairus' request. Time is of the essence. It's quite ironic, then, that Jesus is interrupted in his haste on his way to Jairus' house by an unnamed, unclean woman who dares to reach out and touch him. Because Jairus would have been part of the religious elite of the day, his association with Jesus and Jesus' association with him would have been viewed as honorable and mutually beneficial. The woman, because of her illness and being labeled as unclean, was an outcast who would have appeared to have nothing to give to Jesus but her contamination by making him unclean through her touch. Yet, very unlike any human being for whom status and one's sense of one's own importance meant anything, Jesus responds in a totally unexpected, unprecedented way. First of all, he amazes his disciples by simply asking the question, who touched him? When he is in a pressing crowd in which he is probably actually being touched by a multitude of people. Thus, Jesus makes a distinction of which his disciples are totally unaware between insignificant touch and significant touch. Says biblical scholar James Edwards, the persistence of Jesus in discovering who touched him rivals the woman's persistence in reaching out and touching Jesus. Jesus is not content to dispatch a miracle. He wants to encounter a person. In the kingdom of God, miracle leads to meeting. End of quote. While the woman greatly feared what Jesus, and perhaps even more so the crowd's response would be once she confessed her action, she receives something much different than she was expecting. She receives blessing and affirmation. Says Jesus, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. He calls her daughter. We learned earlier that the family of God, or the one who do God's will. So Jesus is calling this woman daughter, one who does God's will. Says Eugene Boring in his commentary on this passage, Jesus himself awakens faith. It is not an independent religious attitude or conviction that can be brought to him. Boring's insight is an epiphany for me and perhaps for you as well. It means that the power of faith resides in that place where our reaching for Jesus is met by his knowledge of our reach, where touching, we are touched and transformed, and faith emerges. This happens only in a living relationship with a living, resurrected Christ, and only in the human capacity to touch and the divine response of vulnerability in being touched. This is where the power of faith emerges, heals, and transforms us and our world. In Pastor Francois' article from which I quoted earlier, he reflects on the writings of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Based on Bonhoeffer's experience in Nazi Germany, Bonhoeffer speaks against a form of Christianity which would attempt to ally itself with the power of the state, which set up a context of loveless power and powerless love. To repeat that again, Bonhoeffer speaks against itself with the power of the state, which sets up a context of loveless power on the state's part and powerless love on the church's part, and sometimes vice versa. The woman Jesus healed up until her encounter with Jesus was caught up in a religious code which had trapped her in a loveless power over her until she discovered the power of faith elicited by Jesus. Defying all protocol and religious taboo of her day, she dared to tap into and touch divine power and healing. It was a huge risk, but in the end, rewarded with affirmation and blessing. Says Francois, her story bears out that it is costlier to follow rigid rules than to prioritize the hunger of the Spirit. Scores of people miss God because of the blinding mechanics of religion, yet faith, a complex praxis of life, transcends religion. Following religious prescriptions more strictly would have cost this woman healing, end of quote. And I might add, freedom from not only her illness, but freedom from her exclusion from society. Living with death, illness, oppression, injustice, and all that afflicts us outside the reach of the divine in Christ leads only to despair and hopelessness and strips the power from anything masquerading as faith. Yet the good news of today's gospel is that the power of faith resides in that place where our reaching for Jesus is met by Jesus' knowledge of our reach. We're touching Christ, the source of faith and healing. We are then touched and transformed. Transformed then by faith and love that is called forth from us by the living relationship we have with a resurrected Christ, we are able to touch others and our world with the healing power of Christ, to begin to make right what is so wrong with our world today. May the world come nearer to the dream of God because of the faith that is elicited from us this day by the touch of God. May the world come nearer to the dream of God because of the faith that is elicited from us this day by the touch of God. Amen.